the Exhausted Moms podcast. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Kendall.
And we are childhood best friends who are just exhausted moms.
Absolutely. And thank you guys so much for listening last week. We really appreciate it and we're really excited to do this.
Absolutely. We had so much fun and we hope you are having fun listening.
Definitely.
So last week, Kendall talked about the fact that she really wanted to start reading instead of playing Monopoly.
Mm-hmm. I still played Monopoly.
But you were reading, and how many books did you finish?
So I finished two. One of them, to be fair, I had already started, but it was like taking me a while to get through it. So I finished that one, and then I actually finished another one in like 3 days because I just made myself read instead and I could not put it down. So it ended up being a really good book. The first one was actually a sequel to another book I read. So it was called... All right. So the first book that I had been reading was actually a sequel to another book that I had read last year. So the first one was called The Midwife of Auschwitz. And the second one that I just finished was The Midwife of Berlin. So the first one obviously is about, it takes place in Auschwitz, about two women who end up there. One is Jewish, one actually is not Jewish. But because she's an ally, she ends up there as well. They're in charge of delivering all of the babies there, which obviously is a very emotional task given the situation that they're in.
I don't know how you read that.
It was a hard read, but like, it was fascinating to me, like the strength that these people have. Obviously this was a fictional story, but it's based off of true experiences. So the amount of strength that they have to get through this. So without giving away too much, part of the things that are happening is that if a baby was born with blonde hair or blue eyes, the Germans were taking them and giving them to German families to raise rather than keeping them in the concentration camps with their mothers. So this one of the midwives, Esther, she got the idea to put a tattoo under the baby's armpits with the same number that the mom had. Wow. Like her prisoner number, so that people wouldn't notice it, but that way after the war they could try to find their kids. So she ends up losing her daughter to the Germans because she's got blonde hair, so she vows that she's gonna find her daughter, and that's kind of where the book ended. I'm not gonna give away kind of the rest of the stuff that happened.
Yeah, please don't.
But this, yeah, the second book was The Midwife of Berlin, and this is fast forward to post-war. Actually takes place during the Cold War, so like the walls going up and everything, and all that's going on. So it's kind of her journey into finding her daughter finally. And it's definitely a good read. I liked the first one better. It was a lot more of a, I guess, intense story. Obviously so, given the situation, but the second one was still really good. But the other book that I read, the one that I read in 3 days, which is a pretty popular book right now, I've been seeing it all over the place. It's called The Teacher by Freda McFadden. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't heard of any books to read lately. So,
I actually, one of our mutual friends, Jenna, hey Jenna, if you're listening, she was reading this book, and she's not usually much of a reader either. So she was like, this was really good. I couldn't put it down. So my mom started reading it and I'm like, okay, I have to read this now. And I finished it within 3 days. And can I say, holy plot twists? Like, at first I'm like, this book is moving really fast. And then I realized it's because there was so many plot twists coming. But it ended up being so good. I mean, it follows the story of two teachers at a high school that are married. One's a math teacher, one's an English teacher. And then there's a student that the story follows as well. So it kind of switches back and forth between their points of views. But there's crazy stuff going on in this book. Murder, there's affairs.
Oh my gosh.
All these secrets and all these plot twists. And I 1,000% recommend it if you guys are into thrillers. So... Yeah,
you know,
that's what I read. True, but you know, if you are, definitely check it out. I just started another book that I haven't really read more than a few pages of, so that can be for next time. But I'm definitely
working on my reading goals for the rest of the year rather than just my Monopoly goals.
I love the fact that you have these like historical drama, and I'm going to talk about trashy reality show I'm watching. I can't keep up with that. But
I mean, it's two different versions of juiciness, I guess.
oh yeah, juicy is not even the word. I have been obsessed with The Valley on Bravo, which anyone knows Bravo knows I'm obsessed with Bravo. It's a spin-off of Vanderpump Rules, which is hands down my favorite Bravo show. You've probably heard about a little bit, I think I've told you about, like the scandal ball, where like the guy was dating a woman for 10 years. He cheats on her with her best friend. And it's been like in the headlines constantly. Well, they made a spinoff with two of the characters that used to be on Vanderpump Rules, Jax and Kristen. And when I tell you, the drama on this show is top tier. I feel like I am back in early Bravo days because it is so crazy, to the point where my husband Peter is watching it with me and he's like, wow. And Peter is not a fan of Bravo, but he's a fan of The Valley now. I did want to get your take though on this story that one of the castmates talked about. So one of the cast members, Jesse, he told a story about him and his wife going to Paris with their now 3-year-old. She was 1 at the time. They had a nanny in Paris that they hired. They did background checks. They did everything that they should to make sure she's who she said she is. She's good for them, whatever. Well, she ended up in a car accident, so she couldn't help them while they were there. So tell me why. Instead, the first day they were in Paris, they were at this cafe, and the waitress was really good with their daughter. And she talked about how she was a mom. And so they asked her, who takes care of your kid while you're working? And so they ended up hiring her mom to watch their daughter for the week. This random woman that they didn't background check, nothing.
That is wild to me. I mean, to each their own, but like, especially in such a big city like that, that's known for like trafficking and things, like, I am not leaving my child with somebody that I don't know. I mean, first of all, if I'm taking my child on vacation, like, they're coming along on everything with me, but definitely not. Like, if that babysitter that they checked out and planned on wasn't available, I'd be bringing somebody I knew with me purposely 100%. To watch the child, like a family member or a friend that I trusted. Definitely not some random waitress's mom. Like, that is insane to me. And thankfully, I'm guessing the baby's fine.
But, she's fine because she's on the show with them. But
thankfully, it worked out that way. But like, can you imagine like what could have happened?
Not only that, the mom only spoke French.
So they can't even communicate with her.
Right! So I'm like, so I'm sitting there and it's the husband telling the story, and him and his wife have crazy relationship, like in couples therapy, they're not doing anything. So I feel like he told the story to make her look bad.
He looks just as bad.
I know, but you know, as well as I do, when it comes to being a woman, all the pressure is on mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I heard that story and I quit. Like, once it went to a commercial, I looked at my husband and I was like, did you hear that? Like, did I just hear what I think I heard? And he's like, yeah.
Especially like with them, because at that point were they like well known? Like, I don't pay attention to that show.
No, okay. The Valley is like brand new.
I heard some people at work talking about it too. Actually, some of the guys are more into it. But
told you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially if they were like famous at that point, like then anybody's gonna like that makes it worse. But it's still bad. It's still bad.
Well, they are very rich, successful real estate agents. Okay. So they have money. So obviously they had a nanny, they have money, whatever. But to me, I was like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's me going to Paris. My kids are, we're doing everything together.
Exactly.
Not happening.
That's an experience for everybody. It's one thing if it was like you're taking one night out for you and your husband or whatever. But like if they have a nanny, like kudos. Why not just bring her with them?
Right.
Like why? I had a friend that used to do that. You know her too, but she used to do nannying. And I remember one of the families went to like Spain for a while and they took her with them.
Yeah.
To take care of the kids.
That would make more sense to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so since you've had kids, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still pretty into thrillers and true crime. Has your TV choices changed since having kids? Because I know mine have.
Honestly, I don't think they have. Like, I still watch a lot of the same stuff. And my kids are weird and they like to watch like 1,000-Pound Sisters and Dr. Pimple Popper and all that kind of stuff that I watch. They don't really watch the true crime stuff with me because they're not quite ready for that. But I definitely still am really into that. I would say the thing that changed was like my reaction to certain things, if that makes sense. Like if I'm watching a show where it's something to do with like a parent-child relationship or whatever, like I'm going to get more emotional than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm watching a case, like a true crime case about a child, like, I used to get sad about stuff like that, but you know me, I'm not a crier.
Right.
And I've definitely become more of a crier since having kids. So like, it, like This Is Us. I don't think you had watched that, did you?
No, because I heard everybody and their mother was crying and I was like, I got enough of that with Grey's Anatomy.
Obviously that show didn't start until after I had kids and I watched it. I can't tell you how many times I like ugly cried to that show. Whereas I probably would have been like, oh my gosh, that's so sad. Not bawling my eyes out like the way that I would now.
Yeah.
Like to put in perspective, like you know how much I love the Titanic and that's always been my favorite movie. Yes. I never cried watching Titanic until after I had kids and I've seen that movie a million times. But for some reason I just react differently now. But well, I feel like I watch the same stuff though.
See, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I went through a crazy true crime phase of, I don't know, binge watching true crime while pregnant. Don't know why. But after I had her, I cannot watch anything true crime. I get so emotional and I get so much like, oh my gosh, this could happen to me. This could happen to her. This could happen to, like, I cannot do it anymore. I have to have some like lighthearted stuff more so because I'm like, the world is so dark right now, I need some light.
Right. I've heard that from a lot of parents though, like feeling the same way that they can't really watch it the same way that they used to when before they had kids. So that's completely normal. I'm an oddball, I guess.
No, I absolutely can't do it at all. Well, Mother's Day is coming up.
Yes. Do you know what you're going to be doing yet?
I have no clue. We usually don't do anything crazy. How about you guys?
We usually try to just do something like outside, like the zoo or the park. My son is playing AAU travel ball this year, so there's a doubleheader on Mother's Day. And I think my daughter still will have dance class that day. I'm not sure. So I'll probably be doing all of that until like late afternoon. So I'm just hoping, honestly, like that my husband cleans the house to some degree and that maybe we like go eat outside or something. Like that's all I'm looking for. And maybe stop by and see my mom and my mother-in-law. Yeah. So,
well, I did write a blog post that will be up for anyone that needs some inspiration for gifts. I'll put it in the description. It's 5 Mother's Day gifts that every mom needs this year. So I'll put that in there. But Mother's Day for some people is pretty hard, just like Father's Day, whether someone's mother's passed away, whether you are a mom that has lost a child, or maybe you are estranged or no contact with your mom. And Mother's Day, personally, for a very long time has been a very hard day. Once I had children, as you know, it definitely made the day better. Mm-hmm. But I have been no contact with my mom for little over 10 years now. And so when I ever say my parents, I always mean my dad and my stepmom, because she is my mom. it's hard.
No.
I know a lot of people think that going no contact is a trend. And I hear a lot of times, you only get one mom, and you should make up with her. You need her in your life. But I don't. I laugh through my pain, if you haven't noticed. Growing up, my mom has always been very mentally abusive. So much so that I still to this day am my biggest critic. I was definitely a shell of a person for a very long time until mm-hmm. I healed. But it's definitely a everyday battle.
Absolutely.
That you have to go through, and I will never let her back into my life. She has tried to reach out to me almost every year through email, and it's sent me into a spiral for a very long time every time. Now I look at it and I go, oh, come on, get the hint. But I, as a mom, I thought that once I became a mom, I would understand her point of view, but I don't. I get more mad than anything now looking at my daughter. And I think to myself, how could my mom treat me the way she treated me? Mm-hmm. And I know that she is a master manipulator. So anyone that knows her knows that she plays the victim. And I do not like being labeled a victim. I am not a victim. I am definitely a survivor.
Absolutely.
Of that. I love the fact that I have you and my husband and my family. That definitely helps me. I'm trying so hard not to cry.
Okay, you're doing amazing. And I'm so proud of you, not only for opening up about this, but just for overcoming so much with it over the years. Because I mean, I've seen you go through it. I know what a struggle it's been. And I can 100% attest to her manipulation, because
you were there.
Yeah, I mean, but at first she had everybody fooled. I mean, we always used to be like, oh, your mom's the coolest mom, da da da. And like, because she would act a certain way in front of your friends and like try to become their friend basically, and kind of like cast you to the side. And yeah. Once you and I became closer and I was around pretty much every day, like basically living at your house, like she wasn't able to hide that 24/7 anymore. And I definitely saw over the years. And I just remember like at that point when I really realized what was going on and obviously could understand from like a different standpoint, because I had been through stuff of my own with my parents. Yeah. And just like, I'm just so proud of you. I can't say it enough. I love you with all my heart. You're my sister. Like, you've been through so much, and I know how hard it's been for you over the years, and to see you be the mom that you are to your kids is absolutely amazing. Not that I ever doubted for a second that you would be a good mom, because you were always amazing with kids. But after not really having a good guide yourself on how to do these things, like, you are an incredible mom that I look up to.
No,
now I'm gonna cry. I'm just so proud of you, and I love you so much.
It's hard to talk about, but you know, I'm such a private person. It's just, if I could help someone know that they're not alone and that I know how hard that decision is to make to go no contact. And I know that there's always going to be people watching what I do and reporting back to her. So that's always, you get paranoid. You do. Because it comes to a point where I feel like I have to craft a certain persona online because I know someone's going to show her something. So I watch what I say. I watch what I do. And at the end of the day, that's her still controlling me.
Yeah. And honestly, the hell to her and what she thinks.
Yeah.
You're you. Who cares what she thinks or says? Because you have overcome her stuff and her BS, and it's not your problem anymore. No. You did the hard thing, which was cutting her out, and she can try as much as she wants to try to keep that impact on you. And I know that at the end of the day, because obviously with what I've gone through with my biological father, it's a hard decision to make, and it hurts, and that person is always going to be your mother, your father, technically. But they didn't earn that title. She did not earn that title. She doesn't deserve that title. She doesn't deserve to be a part of your life. So who cares what she thinks?
I think whoever has to make that decision, it's a very brave decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't control you anymore. And that is the biggest sense of freedom. I recently have realized that I'm free.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been over 10 years, but I finally got to that point where I know I'm free.
Yeah. I mean, that trauma can last a long time. Even when you're out of the situation physically, the emotional part of it stays with you for a long time. So it might feel like it took you forever to get through it, but that's perfectly normal. And it's going to be something that's always going to be there to deal with, but you've overcome the hardest part of it and gone through it.
It's definitely different every day. And I listened to a podcast recently that actually inspired me to open up about my own. And they were talking about, they thought maybe that so many years down the line that they would forget about their parent. But I think it's easier to cut off friends and distant relatives, and it's so much easier because they're not supposed to have to love you, right? Whereas your parent, they bring you into this world and you think to yourself, why doesn't this person love me? Why could they hurt me this bad?
Yeah.
But then you realize it's not about you. It's about them.
Exactly.
And that's the hardest thing is to remember is at the end of the day, you were a child. You did nothing wrong. That is on them.
Yep. Not everyone's meant to be a parent. And
no.
Some people step up to the plate when they get put in that position and others just don't.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I mean, you're such a strong person and you've gotten through it. And I know that you're going to create so much of a better life for your kids, and they're not going to have to worry about any of that trauma.
Oh yeah. Every day I wake up and that's my to-do list. Is let's not be my mom.
Let's not traumatize my kids.
Let's not traumatize my kids. Let me not have to cause my child trauma today.
Yeah. I think it's hard too, because there's a lot of external pressure when it's somebody that close to you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, well, they're still your mom, or they're still your dad. I've gotten that one a lot. They're still your dad.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe biologically, but that doesn't make them your parent. Like you said, your stepmom is your mom. My stepdad is my dad. Like we've chosen, I mean, I guess not technically.
We didn't choose
them. Our parents married them, but we chose to
form that bond with them and right. allow them to take on that role in our lives. And they've been the ones that have stepped up, and we're right. fortunate that we have those people, because we recognize not everyone does.
Right. And I mean, your stepdad, you were so little when your stepdad stepped in, whereas yeah. I was already an adult. I was 18, but yeah. my stepmom is the first person I called after my husband proposed to me. Like, yeah. I am so thankful for her. And if she's listening, I am very thankful for you.
We love you.
We love you.
I remember having a drunken conversation with her once. That I think it was your brother's grad party.
Oh, no.
Before I threw up for the night. Oh. But and telling her how thankful I was that she came into your lives, you and your brother's life, because you really needed that.
Absolutely.
That mother figure who you'd been missing your entire life. Yeah. So shout out to your stepmama.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, do you know what's the hardest part is that I know that my mom has like spies of people, and I feel like she's gonna hear this conversation, but it's okay. This is my truth.
Let her hear.
I'm finally allowed to speak my truth, and she can't hide and manipulate what I say anymore and paint me in the bad light, which I've heard. So that's yeah. on her.
Yeah. Hey girl, if you're listening.
I know.
you don't own her anymore. You don't control her anymore. Nobody's gonna listen to a word you say, so you might as well save your breath. And that's my 2 cents on it.
I keep hearing this song, Taylor Swift, from her new album. I know you don't like Taylor Swift. It is what it is.
I respect her, just not my cup of tea yeah. musically.
Well, she has a song called Who's Afraid of Little Ol' Me, and that is how I feel right now. And she says, you should be, so.
Right, there you go. You don't know who you're messing with.
Oh, let's talk about something less sad, please.
Right? No, definitely. I mean, speaking of, though, like those being sad and grumpy, what's something that you like to do when your kids are misbehaving or being grouchy to kind of turn the mood around?
So you're going to laugh. Grey's Anatomy, I watched for a very long time. I stopped watching after COVID because it got weird. But I loved the fact that when they were having a bad day, they would turn music on and just dance it out. And so that's what I do with my kids. I put on their silly kid songs. Right now, my daughter's obsessed with The Gummy Bear, which is ancient.
Yes.
I think that's a song from when we were kids.
It was one of those weird ringtones that you had to like pay $9.99 a month, remember? And you got the ringtone.
I'm a gummy bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That is what I have been, well, not just that song, but like I've just been putting that stuff on. And they mm-hmm. just, well, obviously my baby can't walk yet, but he bounces.
The baby bounce.
The baby bounce. He goes on his knees. I'm like, dude, you could walk. I know you could walk. Let's just do it already.
He's so close. I think he's just going to realize it one day and take off, because he definitely has it in him.
Yeah. Do you do anything specific?
I mean, we definitely do our share of dance parties too, because, yeah. you know, I've been a dancer my whole life, and my daughter dances, and my oldest son loves to dance. So we definitely do that. I also do this thing where it's mostly my daughter, because she's the one that throws the most fits. So she's 4 and a half. If she's acting like a whiny bratty baby, I start talking to her like a baby, and I pick her up and I start
Oh,
the baby girl. She thinks it's hilarious.
Oh, no.
And she will start laughing and snap out of it and, like, start acting like a big girl again. But she thinks it's so funny. I'm like, if you're going to act like a baby, I'm going to treat you like a baby.
Oh,
and
no.
pick her up and rock her like a baby and talk to her like a baby. And she thinks it's so funny. But, yeah, definitely just trying to like lighten the mood and joke around with them, do funny voices and whatnot. They yeah. like that stuff.
I think it's just changing the mood. Music yeah. heals the soul, I swear.
Absolutely. Absolutely does.
I mean, you know, when we were kids, how much music we listened to.
Right? Honestly, music is one of the things that's saved my life so many times.
Same.
Whether that's be from listening to it or singing. I mean, you and I were both singers growing up, and we were in choir together, and like, especially I think having that first period every day in high school was like such a big thing for us, because it was such an outlet to be able to just be with our friends and like sing and not worry about anything for an entire period to start the day.
Well, not only that, like my brain was not functioning because
I
didn't start my coffee addiction yet.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, between singing, listening, dancing, like I don't know what I would do without music. I really don't.
You know, I have a music tattoo.
Right.
So one of my tattoos is music notes. That was my first tattoo. And music, I say all the time, music definitely saved me going through anything hard and dark times. There's always a song for everything.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And there's always going to be those go-to songs, like,
for the mood
that you're in. Like, your favorites might change from time to time or whatever you're listening to, but there's always going to be those couple of songs that are just your go-to when you're mad or when you're sad or whatever the case may be.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is I remember being in elementary school, and do you know the song Perfect from Simple Plan?
Yep.
That song, to this day, symbolizes my life. I love that song, and being a kid just like screaming it on top of my lungs, like nothing was more therapeutic. Oh gosh.
Those days, the good old days.
Were they though?
Not really, but you know, in music, they were great in music.
In music, I was gonna say, deep in childhood trauma at that point.
Like, especially, like, obviously, you know, I'm very into hip hop and rap.
Yeah.
And the stuff that's out today, with the exception of like a couple of artists, I can't even listen to it.
No.
Like, some of it's got a catchy little beat, like, okay. But most of it, like, what is happening?
Well,
I don't really listen to the radio now. I listen to, like, my Pandora or Spotify with my 90s and 2000s.
Do you know why? So I saw this doctor talking about this on TikTok, because, you know, I love TikTok. He said that during the time of high school and probably early college years, that's when your music taste is like at its peak. And so once you get older, everyone says that. I mean, growing up, I remember my parents were like, oh no, the 90s music was so much better, the 80s music was so much better. So I think it's just once you hit a certain age, you turn on the radio and you become a grumpy old get off my lawn man.
Right? But I mean,
no, you're not wrong.
Lyricism. Like,
right.
Going from having actual lyrics to skirt, skirt, yeet, yeet. Like, what is that? I can't even understand some of these songs.
I'm
you're doing the gritty.
The
to
what?
Like this music. The gritty.
The what?
Got the gritty yet?
What? No, my kids are 3 and 1 almost.
You have to look it up. It's this dance that the kids do now.
I
totally embarrassed my son at his school dance because I started doing the gritty. But his friends weren't around. It was okay. It was like a little moment. But he, like, one of his friends the other day hit a home run at baseball, and he did the gritty across the plate. And
so
one time.
Stanky leg?
No, it's like this little, I don't know how to describe it. You have to look it up.
Okay,
they like.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, they like bounce on one foot and like go forward. I don't know, like it's kind of like a little gallop or a skip. And then they like do this thing with their hands.
Oh,
like,
I'm googling this right now.
Yeah, look it up right now and tell me what you think, because this is like that and the Get Sturdy are like the new kid dances now.
Hold on, there's a mascot named where it comes from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a Philadelphia Flyers mascot.
And he does the dance?
I guess the gritty hits the gritty. Well, now I gotta look at this mascot dancing.
Right.
Oh. It's like hockey. hold on. There's like Tony the Tiger. There's all kinds of people on this.
Oh my gosh.
What is he? Oh, that was. I don't understand what that was I just watched. Is it fast dance?
No, it's like, I don't know how to describe it, and I can't see what you're watching, so I don't know if it's the right thing. But, like, it's...
Pretty dance.
Yeah, it's just this little, like, dance that they do.
Oh, I spelt it wrong. I spelled it like grits. I've been in the South too long. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, this guy's going to teach me how to do it. Okay, okay.
So now you can gritty.
Wait, wait. He's using, like, a hat?
Why is he using a hat?
Oh, no, no. Oh, sorry. That was his intro. Oh. Okay. He's doing something with his feet. Like forward.
Yeah, it's like a little like.
Marching forward.
Yeah, like a little gallopy thing forward. Like they're kind of bouncing off one foot.
This is dumb.
Right? But this is what they do now. The gritty and the get sturdy, which looks like the rah rah Rasputin dance from Just Dance, where they like drop down and kick their leg out. That's exactly what it looks like.
But you can't say that our dances were cool either.
Oh no, we were doing the jerk and the stanky leg.
Okay, hold on. Who's like, we? Not Kayla.
The jerk and the
I was not.
Children our age, well, teenagers our age, I was a master at the jerk. I will say that. I'll toot my horn there.
Nice, man.
But, yeah, I mean, we had some pretty stupid ones, too.
Well, like, okay, Soldier Boy.
I still,
oh, the I knew you
second
were gonna say
I
this.
Hear that, I am hitting the Soulja Boy.
Okay.
I just put it at the Nicki concert. DJ Boof played Soulja Boy, and he was like, this is how I'm going to tell all my older than 25 crowd. And you see, like, half the audience start doing the dance. Like, it was incredible.
Okay, what about that chicken noodle soup one? That was weird.
It was, but you know what? I still love it. But this is what our kids are going to be saying in the future about the gritty. Remember when we used to do the gritty? And now they're doing the diddy? Not the diddy. Oh, no.
No.
Forget that.
Please don't do the diddy.
Dance. I don't even know. That
Freudian
was the first
slip?
That came to mind. So, no, we are not. We do not endorse diddy here.
No.
On the Mom's Podcast. Exactly the opposite. Thank you.
Oh no. No.
I don't know. But segueing back into music a little bit before we get carried away.
Yeah.
Tell me about this Taylor song about Kim, because I love to hear about this.
Okay, let me pull up the lyrics, because the lyrics, I'm gonna keep them PG. Cause this song is amazing. Like, I am so proud of her. So, the way she says it, she says, it wasn't a fair fight or a clean kill. Each time that Amy stomped across my grave, then she would laugh as she wrote headlines in the local paper, laughing at each baby step I take. So, with the whole Kanye and Kim and Taylor thing, so they kind of canceled, they got Taylor canceled pretty much in 2016.
With that phone call.
With that phone call that Kim edited.
Yeah.
And the problem was, I mean, hello, I'm a Reputation girlie. So that album that they helped, like, oh my gosh, that album is my favorite. So, I mean, I'm not too mad at them, but I am.
Yeah.
They edited it saying that line that he wanted, I'll make that be famous.
Yeah.
The way they edited it, it made it sound like Taylor was like, yeah, it's fine, but she didn't. And years later, I think like 2019, it came out, the unedited version, someone leaked it. And Taylor never got an apology or anything from Kim. They also talked about it on Kim's reality show. Her mom was like, why don't you just call Taylor up? And she was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And I remember her just being like, nope, everyone's over it. Like, easy for you to say when you're the one that, like, sabotaged this girl's career.
She completely went off the face of the earth for a whole year. She thought her career was over. And
she's a hard enemy to have. Especially back in that time. Like, that I feel like time, she's lost some of her sway now. But she was, like, the it girl of it girls at that point.
She was, but now everyone sees through them. And everyone that I have seen is over that family because they're mean girls.
They really are.
They are the epitome of mean girls. And not only that, they lie about all of the things that they've had done.
Yeah.
Surgically. And it
was so obvious.
100%. Like one day you don't have a butt, the next day you have a butt. Like, that's not how that works. I mean, unless you're doing the whole SpongeBob blowing up the arms thing, like, that's not a thing.
Like, raising balloons up in there.
Right. Are you like padding your butt with like special pads or something? Like, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're proud of that SpongeBob, I know. I get mad about it because when we were kids, magazines and everything, do you remember Jessica Simpson? I think it was like 2008. She had this outfit on that was like mom jeans, and she was probably like a size 6, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it was everywhere, every news station, every paper. Oh, Jessica Simpson got fat, no more Daisy Dukes, because she wasn't a size 0 anymore. Right. And but we grew up with a lot of that, like, heroin chic Paris Hilton tiny body. So when the Kardashians came on to like the scene, everyone, especially people like us, that were like, oh my gosh, like they're not the normal celebrity we were used to growing up.
Yeah,
but it got to a point. I love Khloé. I've always loved Khloé, but it makes me sad that they treated her the way they did, and she has gotten probably so many nose jobs.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of this is alleged. I don't want a cease and desist from the Kardashians, please.
Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
We're getting sued by the Kardashians.
Look, Ma, I made it.
Here, you can have the $5 in my piggy bank.
Oh, that would be absolutely horrible. But you know what I'm saying. Like, they were the it girls for so long. And I think the Instagram culture has done quite a number on young girls.
Yeah, definitely.
Just like what we were talking about last week with the needing to have a whole skincare routine at 9.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Because of Instagram. And Kylie was the biggest one of all with her lip kits, and you have to have these big lips.
Yeah.
Some people have gone a little bit too much with the filler.
Oh, for sure.
I have seen pictures of celebrities and I'm like, what did you do to your face?
It's because once they start, like, nothing's good enough and they keep going until they end up looking like Joan Rivers. And it's like, when is enough enough? Like, God rest her soul.
She died on the table.
Yeah. I mean, she was pretty back in the day. Like, she did way too much to herself. And that's what a lot of these celebrities, and not even just celebrities, just anybody who can somewhat afford it.
Right. Instagram models.
Yeah, and it's like, when is enough enough? Like, I feel like we've taken steps to get closer to a more inclusive and accepting culture as far as how people's bodies look and everything, but there's still so much of that pressure to, like, look a certain way.
There is, and I have heard a lot of people talk about, especially celebrities, actually, that they don't allow their kids to be on social media until they're 16. Even 18.
A good thing. Yeah.
But here's the thing, just like the phone issue, how do you tell your kid, hey,
you can't have this.
All your friends have it. I mean, you remember as a kid, if your friends had something that you didn't and you were upset about it, a lot of times kids will go behind the parents' backs. They'll sneak into it anyway. So
that's what I had to do with MySpace. Everyone had MySpace.
That's why I was thinking about it.
We were in, like, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, and I wasn't allowed to have it. So I had ended up, my aunt had an account that she never used, and she was like, "You can use mine." So I would use her account, but my mom didn't know about it, so I could only check it like if I was at my grandma's or I
Sorry,
was at a
Mom.
friend's house. She knows now. But the funniest part of that is that my boyfriend in eighth grade
Oh, I was there for
or
this.
ninth grade broke up with me over MySpace, and I wasn't able to check it for like weeks. So I was just like, why hasn't he answered my calls or called me? Because I didn't have a cell phone yet either. So calling the house phone, I'm like, why hasn't he called me in like 2 weeks? Or why hasn't he like answered any of my calls? Like, this is weird. Is he okay? And then I go to visit my grandma for the weekend. I log on and there's the breakup message. And I'm like, bro, you know that I wasn't gonna see this for a couple weeks. And he was like, yeah, I know. I was just afraid to tell you. Like, really? And he ended up trying to say he regretted it. But my point is, like, I had to be sneaky to get on there, and
Right.
then look what happened to me.
I can't. That
Didn't
is
know I was dumped for 2 weeks. He probably was like, why is she calling?
right. Like, does she can't she get a hint? Like,
Right? Like, nope, I thought everything was fine,
I thought
but
you were just ignoring me. You know what? That makes me think I don't understand how anyone could break up with someone over text, social media, all that stuff. Like, if you don't like someone anymore, just I don't know. Say it to their face.
And I get it when it's like kids, like we were what, 14, but
Right,
like even
No, we were kids.
I normally wasn't the type to date my own age at that point anyway, so it was
Yes, I
weird to
know.
me. But like there are grown people doing this.
They're
Grown people
ghosting
breaking up
people.
with their, yeah, like can't just get on the phone.
Right.
Call somebody, and then if it gets uncomfortable, hang up. Like,
Right.
you always got out what you need to get out. Like, have the decency to say it at least over the phone if you're not going to do it in person.
Well, I
Like,
feel like
come
it
on.
hurts the person more if you just ghost because then they're like, okay, well,
Yeah.
what did I do?
There's
And then
no
that
resolution
next
there.
relationship they get into, they're going to be so insecure about that and be like,
Yeah.
okay, let me make sure I don't do this, this, and this. So that, 'cause they don't know why you broke up with them.
Exactly. And then they're just left questioning it. There's no
Right.
closure. Like, at least give them the respect to like know what the reason was. As I mean, I feel like it's different if like somebody cheated on you
Right,
or like there was some big thing that happened, like where you know that that's the reason.
so
But like in a
then
regular like relationship where
yeah.
maybe you just lost feelings or you're like personally not ready to be moving further, like have some freaking cojones and break up with it. I'm trying to say like PG on here. I
Same,
guess in
same.
Spanish that's not PG either, but you know. Sorry, any of our Spanish listeners. But yeah, so have the decency
Yeah.
to do it in person or on the phone. Come on, guys.
But seriously, I mean, we're old.
Yeah.
I'm coming up on being 10 years with my husband. Like, you've been with your husband a lot longer than I.
Almost, we're coming up on 14 together,
Right.
and it'll be our sixth wedding
As I say, it's
anniversary
my
this year.
fifth, your sixth.
Yeah, sixth wedding anniversary.
I'm just glad we never had to do the apps.
Yeah, we're definitely lucky with that. I was just saying that to somebody the other day. Like, I don't remember. It was one of my son's friend's moms, and she's single, and she was talking about being on the apps, and I'm like, I can't even remember what it was like to be single, and I don't envy anyone who has to date in this type of like electronic era, because
Yeah.
like we didn't have to do that.
I
And
mean,
it's definitely the catfishing and like
oh yeah.
the whole, I mean, you saw the whole Risa Tisa, who did I marry
Oh,
thing. Like,
what was that, like
these people
50
are out there.
parts?
Yes, and I watched all of them.
Oh, girl, I went on Reddit and got the Cliff Notes.
Right, but it reminded me of that podcast, Something Was Wrong with Tiffany Reese. Did you ever listen to that one?
No.
So she talks about, it might be a good one for you to check out, because she talks about like people who are narcissistic or have personality
Hold up, hold up.
disorders.
She's not saying I have that.
No, not you, not you. I'm talking about your mama.
My
Like,
mama.
so she, the first season that she did was this girl who met this guy and was in a serious relationship with him, and it was kind of like what happened with Risa Tisa. Like, he ended up being a totally different person, and like all these secrets and stuff were coming out. So she does a lot of seasons about people either like emotionally abusive situations, cults she's talked about, or like people who are not who they say they are, and like how we found out or how the person found out about it. So it's definitely an interesting one.
So I won't watch true crime, but I'm always watching some cult documentaries.
Oh my god, right? They're just as interesting.
Oh yeah. It makes me so sad when you see all the kids in them.
Yeah. Because they don't know any better.
Well, not only that, I'm not mentioning the one I'm thinking of because they have been known to go after people.
Oh boy.
I'm not mentioning that at all. But I just feel bad for the kids that are brought into those situations because you don't have a choice as a kid. Mm-hmm. You do what your parents tell you.
Yeah.
And then they have to grow up and reprogram their brain. I mean, kind of like regular trauma, you have to reprogram your brain.
Yeah. And one of the seasons on that podcast was actually about a guy who was a teenager during the whole People's Temple cult with Jim Jones.
You're talking about, yeah.
The Drink the Kool-Aid guy.
Yes. Thank you.
So it was super interesting to hear how he, like, was brought up in this and, like, bought into it. And then as he got older, like, he started to see what it really was and was trying to get out and how dangerous it was to get out. So I definitely recommend, I don't remember what season that was, but if you're into that kind of stuff, I would check out the Something Was Wrong podcast for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm a sucker for those documentaries. Oh my gosh. The other documentary that everyone's been watching, that Nickelodeon one, what is that one called?
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, I just watched it. Hold on, what was it called?
Googling it.
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. Quiet on Set, that's what it was.
That one that completely broke my heart. And I was like, okay, we lost our childhood now too.
Right? Because Nickelodeon was so huge for us as kids. Like, Disney was not nearly as big of a thing until maybe like the mid to late 2000s.
Right, well, they always had the good movies.
Yeah, but they didn't really have, like, great shows, like, a few of them, but, like, Nickelodeon was where it's at, and, like, that was where we were allowed to be kids, like, especially coming from being kids who went through stuff at a young age, like, being able to sit and watch those shows and laugh, like, and now to know, like, how you always expect there's some sort of, like, stuff going on with child stars, because usually there is, but to the extent that it was on those shows is horrifying, and it makes me feel icky, like, even watching them now or thinking about, like, how we used to watch them, like.
Well, I mean, the feet jokes always creeped me out, so.
Yeah, that part, Dan Schneider's stuff was always kind of weird, like, in general, but, like, the thing with Drake Bell, man, like, that
broke my heart.
It was awful, and his poor father.
I know.
When he talked about how he called his dad and his dad was like, oh, they arrested him. Like, thank God he couldn't do that to you. And then he had to tell him, like, shame on his mother.
Yes.
Because he specifically told her after this dude manipulated his way into saying, oh no, have your mom be your manager. His father specifically told her, do not let him be alone with this man. Something is wrong with him.
Yeah.
And for her to just be like, oh, I don't feel like driving you to your things in the morning when you're coming back late at night. So you can sleep over his house. Like, his girlfriend's mom was the one that noticed that something was really wrong. And there's rumors that that was Fifi Dobson, actually. I don't know if that was true, but, like, the timeline of it works out of when he dated her. So if it was her, like, shout out to your mom, girl, because that's what got him the help he needed. But 100%. To see his dad talking about it, oh my god.
My heart broke.
He did everything he could to protect him from that man.
Right.
And successfully did so when he was the one in charge.
Right.
And it broke my heart. And also, how the hell is no one saying anything about this man being pen pals with John Wayne Gacy? Like, how is that just a ha-ha? Like, you're at a kid's party, and he's got pen pal letters and paintings from John Wayne Gacy. Like, are you serious?
That knows me knows I am absolutely terrified of clowns, so that was not fun.
Yeah, he's probably number one on your worst serial killer list for
absolutely.
Multiple reasons. Yeah, but they just glazed right over that, like, yeah, okay.
But no, that was a hard one to watch. It really was for us 90s kids.
Yeah.
For anybody, but especially us.
I watched it with my husband, and once we were finished with it, we looked at each other and we're like, I don't know if we want our kids to watch Nickelodeon now.
Right? Knowing that they let so much of that slide.
Well, not only that, once he got out of jail, he went to work for Disney.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Mind blown.
Like,
no. They do better background checks for customer service reps than they do for...
Right? I had to go through background checks and, right. Like, licensing and all this stuff, and I have to fill out questionnaires every single year for my insurance license to say that I don't have any felonies or child support or anything like that. So if they're holding me to that standard to handle somebody's car accident or stolen car claim, why are you not doing that for somebody who's literally working with children, who has easy access to victimize them and abuse them? Yeah. Like, it's insane to me, because it's a money thing. This person knows how to write well for kids' shows and we make money off him. Okay, yeah.
But not only that, it's always, who do you know?
Yep.
And he had all those people writing letters of support. And
okay, and when Drake said he was in the courtroom, and his whole side of the court was empty except for like his parents and his girlfriend's family. Right. And then the other guy's side was completely full of people supporting
actors,
him.
Directors.
Like, shame on you if you're one of those people who supported him. And all the letters saying like, oh, well, he must have been tempted severely. Yes. It doesn't matter what. And first of all, no, he wasn't. Mm-mm. But second of all, it doesn't matter. That's a child.
Right.
It doesn't matter what he did. He could have fully initiated it himself. You're the adult.
Yep.
Say no. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
I think the problem is that people don't understand the power of no.
Yeah. No, and they don't.
I teach my daughter that every day.
Same.
It's a very, it's so hard, the things we have to think about and worry about and teach our kids. And I mean, obviously that's happened. Every parent from the end of time had to worry about stuff. But I feel like with the power of social media and more stuff all the time coming out, it sometimes feels like it's too much information.
Definitely.
I'm like, can I put my kids in a bubble, please?
Right. Exactly. No, it's sad, the things that we have to worry about as parents. Like today, for example, like my daughter had cheer practice this morning and she had outgrown her old cheer shoes and she has to buy like the official ones for the season. So I'm like, for now, I'm just going to get her some like cheap sneakers to wear to practice. And so I go to the store and the only thing they had in her size was light up shoes. And I don't buy light up. Yeah. I bought them for her for practice, but I had to explain to her that she can't wear them to school.
Yeah.
And to have to explain to my 4.5-year-old why she can't wear light up shoes to school. Because if a bad person comes into the school and they see your light up shoes and you can't hide.
Yeah.
Like it breaks my heart. I got them for her. I'm like, you can wear them at home. You can wear them at practice. You can wear them to baseball. I don't care. You can't wear them to school. Yeah. And it's horrible that we have to even worry about that.
It's, you know, what's even worse is the fact that, like, my kid's not even in school yet. And light-up shoes, I don't even want her going to, like, a store or anything wearing them.
Yeah, like a movie theater. Yeah. Right. It's horrible. They sell bulletproof inserts for kids' backpacks.
I know.
Like, it is heartbreaking that this is happening still. Yeah. To this day, and more frequently. And I remember after the last school shooting, the one in, is it Uvalde? Yeah. I don't want to miss it.
Uvalde.
My son he was in second grade at the time. He was afraid to go to school. Mm-mm. And there was some, like, because, you know, people always make these stupid prank threats, like, after something like that happens, which is disgusting. Absolutely. If you're one of those people that does that. But there was, like, a threat made in like the general like New England area, and the schools were like, we're having extra police presence, like there's gonna be police on the bus. They sent home a letter and my son was terrified to go to school. I'm like, this is horrible. Like, school was my safe place for so long, and like for him to not feel safe at school because you don't know what's gonna happen, like it's horrible.
It is.
absolutely horrible.
It is. Well, I hate to end on a downer, but
it just kind of turned out that way.
It turned out that way, but we're trying to keep it shorter for you guys.
Yes, definitely, and more structured. So yeah. Definitely, we appreciate any feedback that you guys have. Like, we're just starting out with this. We had posted too, if anybody has like questions or topics that they want to submit, once we get a couple of those answers in, we'll have some material to do a segment and answer those questions as well. But please, 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 any feedback, even negative, like, yes, please let us know. We want to make sure you're not going to hurt our feelings.
No.
We want to make sure that this is something that people enjoy listening to as much as we enjoy doing it.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Please comment, like, share, and follow us Instagram, Facebook.